Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we talked to Crazy Jay Moore. He has a very interesting tale of woe for today, and then we'll do some news coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Jay Moore's Birthday Cocktail Party for August 23rd. Let's see who's on the guest list. We welcome Kobe Bryant, 18th century French monarch Louis XVI, from Singing in the Rain, Gene Kelly, from Psycho, Vera Miles, Jeannie, Barbara Eden, the last California governor to get recalled, Pete Wilson, has been recalled to the party. American serial killer Henry Lee Lucas, Les Nessman from WKRP in Cincinnati, Richard Sanders, the most dangerous drummer in the history of rock and roll, Keith Moon, is here, and now it's a party. Rick Springfield joined us. Diane from Cheers, Shelley Long. From Stone Temple Pilots, Dean DeLeo. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is here. James's kid, Scott Kahn. And sharing the exact same birthday, River Phoenix. Jay Moore on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Jay should be walking in any second now, I always tell Dawson. Let's run it anyway. It's kind of interesting. Jay's got a hell of a birthday.
You think he might be walking in any moment. Yeah. You might have a clue as to where Jay is. Caitlin, can you put that tweet up? Jay Moore, 4 minutes ago, out of gas on 405 North, an exit north of Getty. Anyone got a gallon for a brother?
What? Wow. Hello.
Jay made... I think it says parentheses, meet and greet. So he might be there for a while.
Make it 7 minutes before he gets here. So Jay, Jay's note was that he was going to be here right at 3 o'clock, which is 6 minutes ago. So Jay may be held up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we can make some rock soup here if we have to. Something we wanted to get to a while back, we never did, which was Bald Brian's Big Bear vacation. Yeah. So I'm kind of curious how that went. Max Spada was there. Did you guys see each other there?
No. Texted a couple times, but, you know, COVID and snow and the romantic Valentine's
Day weekend. Lack of interest.
Lack of interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a Valentine's Day getaway for those two childless, you know, couple.
Hold on. When is the last time anyone ran out of gas?
I've never run out of gas.
I ran out of gas once because the first S10 that I owned did not have a gas light, and I assumed it did. So when it got low, I was like, oh, just like light will come on, and then it died. Actually, almost exactly where Jay is right now, but that was the only time in my life.
You know, it's funny because I always have these thoughts where Jay Moore's crazy, and this is adding to that tapestry, I guess. And
Just out of curiosity, did we get a notification, or is this just from Brian who happened to see it on Twitter?
I just happened to see it on Twitter. Okay. During the 5 minute break, I was just browsing, killing time.
Okay.
All right. So, and you know, people don't. Well, good for you, Brian. People don't travel with gas anymore. It used to be that maybe one out of every 25 cars back in the day had a gas can, like in the back of the truck or the trunk or whatever it is. I think those days are gone. And I also got to find out what kind of car Jay's driving. I think he had a Lexus something before because...
And I'm seeing on Instagram 6 days ago, turns out my new car ran out of gas.
6 days earlier.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew would have thoughts on this.
Wow.
This is
Because he had a show at the Tempe Stand Up Live that night. So.
You get two DUIs in 7 months. Dr. Drew's got thoughts, and you run out of gas twice inside of a week. Drew's going to have some thoughts about that as well. So
it's an indicator. It's a referendum.
Right. Now, see,
certain aspect of your life.
It's really hard to do these days because modern cars have the countdown.
Right.
Yeah.
And once you get down to the bottom of the countdown, I've done some experimenting with this because I got lost once and I was up in the hills around Malibu and whatever. I drove around on zero for quite some time. Like
it can be done.
It'll count you down to zero, and then it'll leave you a little leeway at zero. Zero doesn't mean zero. Zero means you got 7 miles to find a gas station.
Don't get cocky, but know that there's a reserve that they're not telling you about.
Yeah, and it probably varies from make to make, but zero doesn't always mean zero. So if he's driving,
you say that.
If he's driving a modern vehicle.
Range Rover last I saw.
We're going to have to talk about this. All right. So, Brian, sorry. Big Bear.
Kalen, yes or no? Do you have the stuff I sent you on Monday? Sorry. Yep. No,
I do.
Excellent. Okay. So, we got really lucky. So, we left after the show on Thursday. So, we left about 5 p.m. and Christy was done with work. Took 2.5 hours. Yeah, 2.5 hours to get. No. 3.5 hours. I got there at 8:30, but it was actually ended up being a great decision because on Friday a.m., Kalen put the snowstorm video up there. There was a little snowstorm. There was not a tiny amount of snow. Like,
ooh,
snow was,
I like
snow
that.
Was yeah, coming nice. Down. And so that lasted for an hour.
Did
and
you,
then there
did
was
you
just,
Airbnb it? Or what'd you do?
No, we VRBO, same thing. Yeah, we got a nice house. Actually, we got lucky with that too because the guy whose house it was, he is a medical professional and he does testing, COVID testing for the studios here in LA. This is their second home, obviously.
Oh my!
And so that was Christy on the video. And so we were able to stay in a house where someone who owned it took, you know, COVID protocols very seriously, obviously cleaning and blah, blah, blah. So that was great.
Right.
And then when the snow was done, we got to play in the snow. Tessa, you know, she was all about the snow house. She wants, like, are we going to the snow house? Are we going to the snow house? Like, yes, Tessa, we're going to the snow. We'll see if there's snow. We don't know if there will be. And so she got to make snow angels and, you know, snowball fights and the whole thing. Kalen, do the selfie video of us tubing, me and Tessa, because we went tubing later that day. And she was just so thrilled. Here we are launching ourselves. You could probably mute it, honestly. We were launching ourselves off of the tubing incline.
Let me.
And she's thrilled. She's the happiest she's ever
did
been.
Did you bring your own tubes and sleds and whatnot?
No, tubes. I mean, everyone had to wear a mask. Literally, I alluded to this earlier in the week. Every single person at that tubing park had a mask on.
Oh, they
gloves.
Have the tubes there. Yeah.
Yeah, the tubes.
I got to tell you.
Don't they? Yeah.
I've been burned a few times, but I will put this out there. Bigger markup, is it the pool raft that's shaped like the piece of pizza that you could get at Target for $13, or the same raft that's at Leslie's Pools, the little plate, the little boutique one, whatever, for $57? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the bigger markup between the sled you could get at Target or the sled that they're selling by the snow when they fucking know you didn't bring the one from Target and now it's Gouge City? Because then you can't.
The little, like, the plastic saucer that's all they have
left. Like, it's like I pass that place with my daughter and like three of her friends. I was like, we need our sleds. We need, you know, it's like you're going in there and, like, you know, $121 later, you have $4 worth of plastic that you will never use again. But go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, they got you. They got you by the short hairs when you're there because it's all included. But I think the three of us tubing for however long we wanted to go ended up being like $90. Jesus. Like you could have just found a hill, but of course, you know, you did the whole thing. Tessa's into it.
Did they have the magic carpet so you
yes,
didn't have to
schlep?
Worth it then.
Oh my God, that's
worth
the way we went there, Adam. Yes. They have a beltway that takes you up the hill and
necessary.
Lest you think I was being lazy, it's the most rickety, like, uneven thing ever. So I'm trying my best to balance, which is hard enough for me on solid ground, let alone the belt that's going like this. I'm waving my hands, you know, furiously. But it was fun. Tessa fucking loved it. It was amazing. Saturday, Chris, I'm glad you were there at the same time in the same neighborhood, by the way. We're like within a few blocks of each other. Chris, please back me up when I say there was a kind of insane windstorm. It was 30-mile-an-hour winds, which is, for California, is about as good as it gets. Chris, you experienced this, obviously?
Yeah, the huge trees just swaying. It looked like that scene in The Lost World when the T-Rex was running through the forest. Like, it was...
Put me in a video. I took a picture of the wind. But no, it was
aggressive.
Nuts. We spent almost the entire day in the house, and luckily it was nice. We made fires and played games and stuff. Put together a 300-piece Cinderella puzzle. But the wind was crazy. It was shaking the house. It felt like a little earthquake, like a moderate earthquake every 90 seconds.
This is confusing because I was following both of your heroes' journeys in Big Bear, and Brian's like, "Oh, the snow, the winter wonderland," and then Jen or Chris posts a picture like by the lake where it looks like it's the middle of summer.
The snow melted quite quickly. Like by Saturday, all the snow that had fallen the day before was gone.
Where do you eat at Big Bear? Is there a decent place to eat?
We cooked the entire time.
Yeah, same. And what we also did was we took the beers and we put them in the snow.
Smart.
Yeah, that's good until I walk up to him and Jen yells, "Excuse you!"
You march yourself right back.
Oh,
squatter's rights.
Imagine our parents paying $90 for tubing or any of that. We never had a car that could make it to the snow. That was like, we always drove Volkswagen Beetles everywhere, and there's just the range. They weren't really highway, freeway cars. So, yes.
Let me get to that in a second because so Sunday comes and we're driving home that day, but we got a few hours in the morning and now the snow's been melting for a couple days. So put up the picture of the snowman. Tessa was insistent that we make Olaf. She goes, "I want to make Olaf frozen." That's a pretty solid.
Yeah,
credit goes to Christy. Although I did find the stick that made the mouth. That is a curved stick right there.
Nice smile. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a solid snowman.
That looks like and I mean this as a compliment, that snowman is the kind you find on a generic holiday card at the grocery store. Well, and I mean that as a compliment.
I understand. And then Tessa was all about, she's fucking fearless. Put up the video of her sliding down the hill face first. She wanted to do penguin slides. I'm like, "What's a penguin slide?" She's like, "Watch." It just goes down this not insignificant sized hill, just face first. Like she's going all the way.
Jump at the bottom. Why are they called the penguin slides on the belly.
Face
first. So the thing. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was saying the thing I wanted to bring. Speaking of the cars and people, making it up for the weekend. So we drove home around noon on Sunday because we had the 5 p.m. show, the Corolla show, to record. Kaylin, do you have the map that I sent you separately? The route there was where the traffic was backed up going into Big Bear on a Sunday from Highway 18, which is not going to make sense to anyone outside the area. That is miles. That is several miles of those cars, I'm telling you, were stopped trying to get into Big Bear on a Sunday afternoon.
Did you still have the problem? Hopefully they fixed it by then, God willing, where halfway up Big Bear, when you go up the mountain, it's one way. So the traffic has to stop going the other way. Let everyone go.
Oh, that was not an issue. That's a construction thing, and they had finished the construction. But it was insane. First of all, we're thinking to ourselves, it's going to be 5 hours before these people get into the town of Big Bear. What do you do? What are you there for at that point? Yeah. It's Sunday at 5 p.m. Granted, the next day was a holiday, but
that's why.
You got a day and one day of in your car and one day of on the slopes.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's a calling to some people, like surfing, I guess, but it's that the lifestyle doesn't make sense to me.
Any updates from Jay Moore, Max Zapata?
No, but we can watch his Arizona. He took a selfie video of him running out of gas.
Okay. There's Jay in Arizona.
Guess who ran out of gas on the way to Tempe, Arizona in Death Valley? But who had a skateboard in the car?
Oh, Jesus.
Jay Moore's Tempe Improv. I'm bringing gas.
Tempe Improv, maybe.
So he drove to Arizona.
Yeah, he drove to Arizona. Yeah, he was driving to Arizona. Sorry, and he had a skateboard and some gas that he was riding back to his car.
And a Gatorade. And not to pile on, but you have not heard from Jay yet, correct, Chris?
No, I haven't.
He's kind of like that guy who was listening to the Fleetwood Mac song and drinking his cran apple.
Face.
But it's slightly diminished version of that guy. He went viral. See, that's the whole thing about viral videos. How the hell do you know what's going viral? You got a guy, he's coasting along on a skateboard, he's drinking his Cran Apple, he's listening to some Fleetwood Mac, and, you know, 5.7 million views the guy gets. Jay Moore, he's a noted celebrity. Where's the love, man?
Nothing.
All right. Well, I don't know if Jay ran out of gas 20 minutes ago on the 405. I'm not sure that he's going to make it in. On the other hand, if he's got the skateboard and the gas can in his car and he was on the downside of the 405, you know, that's a pretty easy coast job getting off on, well, let's see, go down, getting off on Sepulveda or whatever's. Yeah. Whatever's right there.
That's exactly
right by the Whole Foods.
He can coast it all the way down to the Whole Foods, and I think there's a gas station there.
There is.
All right. We'll take a break. I think we'll come back. We'll do the news with or without Jay Moore right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Let's start out and work our way in because a NASA rover has successfully landed on Mars.
I watched it.
Yeah, me too. The little kindergartners all watched it. It was fun. In order to bring back rocks that could answer whether life ever existed there, the trip lasted almost 7 months. This was a $2.7 billion robotic explorer named Perseverance, and it carries a sophisticated set of scientific tools. Perseverance had to decelerate, I don't know if you guys heard the 7 minutes of terror, from 12,000 miles per hour to a full stop, and that's called the 7 minutes of terror, for the period of time from when the rover's entry into the atmosphere until it landed. And it's investigating the Jezero Canyon. That's a giant crater close to 30 miles wide, looking for signs of water billions of years ago, things like that.
You know, it's funny, not funny, haha, but kind of interesting. It made me realize I heard somebody talking about this a few days ago, and they're like, we're spending billions of dollars, and you know that money could have gone to the inner city, you know. And you know, it's a part of me that kind of goes, yeah, what do we need to know what's going on Mars for? I mean, think about all that money. Now I do like the exploration and I'm fine with that, but I did think, yeah, how come more people aren't, yeah, why doesn't that money go to the inner city? You know, we have all this money, it's all taxpayer money, like shouldn't that go to the inner city or the poor kids or wherever? And I was kind of thinking about it from a purely kind of psychological standpoint, where you go, well, that would translate into X amount of public pools, libraries, you know, transportation, books, schools, you know, we don't, schools don't have enough money for supplies, you know. And those are, how much was it, Gina?
2.7 billion.
2.7, or, you know, why not to the inner cities, or why not? California could get another 30 miles of railway, of single lane track to Merced. Well, you know, where is it? We could have given more felons their EDD money.
That's right.
But I was thinking about the psychology of, we don't need to know what's going on Mars, or I don't know, let some other country foot the bill for what the soil composition is of Mars, and then they can just fax it over to us, you know, or we'll send us an email and we'll let them do all the heavy lifting. And so why not? What's wrong with the concept of, why don't we take that money and we give it to the inner city or the poor people? I started to realize, I think secretly we all know in the back of our head that dumping money into poor neighborhoods or just giving it to poor people never fixes anything. That's an infinite amount. I mean, we already spend, God knows the amount this country spent in the last 50 years trying to make poor people something other than poor people. I don't know if we all know this, but I think we all feel it, like it doesn't help. It doesn't fix things. It sounds like it fixes things, but it really building the construction or the public fill in the blank or the books, the new books, like it's never fixed. The fix is,
I can certainly say that if $2.7 billion was earmarked to improve the lives of whoever, I wouldn't trust whoever was doling out that to us or spending or whatever the administering that $2.7 billion to do it wisely or to do it right.
And if we did say we're going to update the classrooms in inner city Baltimore, all right, new roofs, new classrooms, new heating and air, new state-of-the-art, you know, computer rooms or whatever, do we really think that then would then lift those people into a different situation in their life? I don't say it's going to hurt, but it's not really the answer. And if it was, I feel like we would have gotten a little more bang for our buck over the last.
Because the answer would have been easy to. All these problems have been easy to solve years ago. This is not.
Yes, the problem that none of the politicians talk about is the problems always within the family structure and the unit, not the actual facility they go to. Jay Moore on the 405.
Hello there. Oh, hello there.
Jay, where are you?
No, I'm Nicky DeToro. I had to get him back on the phone because he's fucking retarded.
Hey, it's JJ. No, it was me the whole time. It wasn't even a guy named Nicky DeToro. Hi, guys. I ran out of gas on the 405 north by the Getty.
What, on the uphill side or the downhill side? Oh, uphill.
Uphill, baby. You know, but I let Mike August know about 2.5 hours ago. I'm still sitting here. Okay.
Well, no hard feelings. What year is your automobile, Jay?
Brand new. It's a brand new. No, I have a Subaru Brett.
They haven't made a Brett.
Well, you know I got the Brett. You know I took it off at Dillashaw in that card game. You know that.
Okay, Randy. Did
you forgot about it? And Corolla forgot about his boys. That's what he does. That's right. He doesn't go to rave anymore. He gets hammered.
You have a
Ace Man for real. I'm bummed out because I ran out of gas and I was really looking forward to seeing y'all.
Well, I'll give you a plug. But, depending on how.
Well, that's nice. That's mighty whitey of my friend. I appreciate that, but not necessary. I just tell you guys the truth. Whatever. Been a nice day. It's beautiful up here. Watching some hawks. I believe these are red-tailed hawks I'm looking at.
Jay, we've learned that you ran out of gas less than a week ago in Arizona.
Yeah, I skateboarded on the 10 to the place to get the I think they call it a gas station, you know.
Yeah,
I got the gas, but on the way to the gas station, I walked it first. I looked real close, and then I came to like a river. So it's in Arizona, of course, that big, you know, that big river they have, whatever. And then I had to take the street, and then I just took the skateboard down the 10. And yeah, it also ran out of gas at LAX. This is the third time, Adam.
Well, now, Jay, you're kind of making my point here in that you're driving a modern vehicle that has the mileage countdown gauge on it, right?
Yes.
So in what year is your vehicle? Is it, what is it?
The Subaru Brett is, it's a brand new,
It's not a Subaru, though, right?
I'm not going to tell you what kind of car it is, because it's my problem entirely. You know?
Okay, so you have a brand new car.
Yes.
And the brand new car will let you know when you're low on fuel, and then at a certain point, it'll tell you how many miles to empty, right?
Miles I always see when I look down at the display.
Right.
The dinging to let me know I'm running low, I'm dubious.
Yeah. Yeah, never trust that.
It's
never.
I'm dubious that it happens.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm not so sure. I might have hit, because sometimes on the phone I hit mute, like when I'm, you know, sometimes you just have a fat face because your pillow was too flat or something. You hit mute with your chin on the phone, like maybe I hit it with one of my fingers or something on the dash, like on that display where it mutes its own signal.
You do have the mileage countdown.
Adam, I smoke a lot of marijuana. A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s and combine them, and I have to change their diapers.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know,
I'm saying, you know, maybe.
Is that a metaphor for smoking a lot?
This seems like this happens a lot. It's happened three times now.
What's the metaphor, Brian?
I was asking you. What does the diaper changing have to do with?
Because like they're not like they're babies compared to me. Yeah. I'm like I'm a man. Like they, all of them combined, they're like babies. Like whatever. Good now, job with your crazy night.
Jay, are you smoking? How much weed are you smoking?
No, that was a joke, Adam Carolla. I don't do drugs. I gamble.
Okay. You gamble on arriving at your destination, I think is really the biggest roll of the dice
for
you.
That's like gambling on baseball. You have to have a sickness to gamble on baseball.
All right, but Jay, as a comedian, as a comedian who cares, I just feel like this is turning into a bit of a habitual problem, the running out of gas.
I'll tell you exactly what the problem is. This brand new car is perfect. I have a beautiful new Volvo. I'm very excited. I love this car.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, hey, dummy, you're running out of gas. Hey, moron, remember that time I told you you're running out of gas? Now you got like 10 miles to go. For some reason, the oral sound, I've never heard it. But that's impossible because the car is like, it's like a perfect dad, James Bond dad car. I've never been hotter, by the way, Gina.
But, oh, wow. So saying it's a good car, but
great
doesn't
chest hair,
come...
black Volvo, ladies? Come on, what are we talking about?
The car's great, except for the part where it doesn't come with an inexhaustible amount of fuel.
That's what I'm saying is, well, yeah, your mouth to God's ears, but I'm sure the people at Volvo are way ahead of us on that one, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, Adam. I noticed as I sat here and I watched the cars go by, how do ladies not know their clothing is on the outside of the car? How do they not know that? Like,
oh,
I see nine dresses
slammed in the
peeking
door.
Out.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
a lot of
sundresses. I can't drive. Brian, I can't drive if my floor mats are crooked.
Well, Jay, I was going to...
Like, the vagina's in the cup holder? Like, doesn't it drag to one side?
I was going to suggest a plug-in electric, but you have to plug it in.
Don't do it.
So
not worth it.
So now
I don't have headphones for a reason, you know?
So what do you...
I don't own sunglasses, headphones, or keys.
Jay, what are you doing now? Are you walking?
No, I'm sitting in my car talking to the Ace Man, my buddy, and I'm about to call a lawyer because I sold my second special. I filmed two specials 2 weeks apart.
Mm.
The second one was the first one that got sold. That was the one I called American Treasure. Mm-hmm. It just came out. I don't think I came out to promote it with you guys, actually.
Oh, well,
holy smokes.
You're going to have
to. It's perfect. It was at the Peppermint Club. It's 100 seats before... Brett Ratner's company put in 7 cameras and 2 tracks. So it's like, it's kind of like Gattaca, but the bits are just completely, you know, from the guts, man. You know me.
So when's that all coming out?
No, that's out. That's called American Treasure. That's available everywhere. Jay Moore, American Treasure. And then the other one was filmed at the Melrose Improv. That's called Altamont. And that's the one I have to just get it right for, you know.
So how much?
But I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Huh? What is it, buddy?
I hope it goes well, because I feel like you need gas money.
No, I need to pay attention.
Okay, yeah. Because, Jay, this, for man...
What do you need gas for? listen, Ace Man, it's weird to sit in a car, and I got my Yorkie with me, my little teacup Yorkie Mabel.
Yes.
I'm just amazed how many people with gas cans in their, you know, every... I realized, wow, every single gardener has like 15 gallons of gas in the back of his pickup. And they're all just like, hey, pinchy gringo. Oh, out of that, come on.
Well, all right.
Oh, the guy with the gas is here, Ace Man.
Oh, he is.
The gas man's here, Ace.
All right, well, talk to the gas man. I'll give you a plug.
Hey, let's reschedule. We already talked about the special, you know, just American Treasure, I suppose. But, Ace Man, I screwed you up today. I crossed you up.
That's all right.
Let's make it up to you. We're all right. You and me or you and me. I know we're good.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to reschedule with the Stone Pelican.
Thanks.
Like August.
Yes, thank you, Jay. It was my fault because I said these magic words to Chris 2 hours ago. I went, Jay's super funny. Why don't we have him come in a little early?
Yeah.
That was the end of that.
You cursed him.
Yeah, you did
right.
This.
So I did it to him. Now, to be fair to my Latin brothers, who are driving the gardening trucks with the gas cans, most all of their equipment runs off of two-stroke, and the two-stroke motors, the leaf blowers and the edgers and all that, most of that stuff is pre-mixed with two-stroke oil. So you wouldn't want to take the pre-mixed gas with the two-stroke oil and dump it into Jay Moore's Volvo. It would not serve him well. So that could be a viable excuse, and or Jay's the white devil. I mean, have you seen that guy's eyes? They're gray.
He's pale.
Yeah.
Looks
all right.
Through you.
So at least we're caught up with Jay Moore. So there's a third time he ran out of gas, and that was at LAX.
LAX.
All right. Maybe,
three times, fool.
Maybe time for an intervention. Sorry, Jay. I mean, Gina. Where were we?
Yeah. No, please. So we were talking about your theory about inner city school money to outer space money. But I also think that, and maybe I'm just naive, people love space.
Oh, they do.
I was going to say,
they have a whimsy for it.
Finish your saying, Jesus.
Well, it's just we all, I mean, when they said that they weren't sending, you know, when NASA was not sending like shuttles anymore, I mean, there was a collective just bum out factor. And I think that we will always throw money into this kind of thing.
Yeah, no. I thought the direction Corolla was going was like, there's a national pride in the space program. Like, one of the best moments of our country's history was winning the space race, going to the moon. And that might look silly in 200 years, but that, you know, that's a highlight.
I like it as well. I was more trying to drill down on the psychology of how we all sort of secretly know that dumping money somewhere at a problem never really seems to fix it. And or like Brian said, who's in charge of distribution?
Sure.
Right.
All right.
So if this name sounds even remotely familiar, there's a reason. Mattress Mac.
Can we find something good? Can we find something good on Mars? Because, you know, the moon was, we got a space rock.
Yeah.
You know, we got a flag. We got a lot of innovation on how we got there and the stuff we built, but there was nothing there. Right. You know what I mean? Like, we did this thing where it's like, well, look at all the innovation of the space program. We got carbon fiber and titanium and Velcro and Tang. Yeah, that's all shit we did on Earth. I want to get there and find some good shit.
Right.
You know what? That's a really good point. And I have always felt like, of course, there's other intelligent life. How narcissistic do you have to be to think that it's just us? Until yesterday. Now I have completely changed my tune because I heard a scientist talk on one of these, you know, nerd PR shows, and he's talking about how delicate humans are. Like, we can only survive between this temperature and this temperature. We need exactly the right amount of CO2 and oxygen. We are so fragile and so delicate. There's a reason we haven't been here very long. And mathematically, it would make sense that we wouldn't be here very long because we're not good at pivoting. We don't have what it takes to weather these types of things. So now I'm thinking, like, maybe we were just an experiment and we'll go away. And that'll be that.
I agree with you for almost all humans, except for Boz Rudin, who we saw last week punching the shit out of that dummy.
That was implied.
That guy could survive on Mars, no problemo. Find more Boz talking and punching dummies. Come on. Sorry. I'm obsessed
with him. Mattress Mac, I'll start with the little postscript, because if he sounds even remotely familiar, he's like a big personality, like the Mattress King guy. And in Texas, he's the one who put $3.5 million on Tampa Bay.
Is he there? You're killing me, Larry.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And he always has these crazy promotions, puts tons of money on the Super Bowl, on the World Series. Sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. When he won for Tampa Bay, everyone got their mattresses free. So he sent them checks and like reimbursed them for their mattresses and his promotion. So that's like his thing. But he's also a pretty great humanitarian. Everyone who's been left struggling. And I mean, people are on Facebook that I am friends with going, who knows where I can get food? I mean, people are really screwed in parts of Texas right now, struggling without electricity, with no heat, no water. So he's opened his stores that are furniture stores for people who need a warm place to sleep, who need to charge their phones. He has hot chocolate, food, blankets, sweatshirts. We have a picture. And you just, I mean, is there anything more comfortable than taking a load off on one of those, you know, big sectional Lazy Boys?
So that's like a display living
room. They're all displays.
That's great.
People are just, you know, seeking shelter.
Their living room now.
Yes.
And stuff strewn everywhere.
He's just, you know, come one, come all. We have stuff. We have places to rest. We have chargers. We have food. So, you know, as many people as they can fit in his two locations, this happened. He also did it when Hurricane Harvey hit in 2017. And just to give a little more of a, I mean, not really a deep dive, but just some extra information, Electric Reliability Council of Texas, that's the company that oversees the state's electric grid, has had to rely on these rolling power outages to keep the grid from completely collapsing, and people are freezing. I mean, it's like 10 degrees. My aunt and uncle are in Houston. They've been boiling their water. They've been very lucky. The power hasn't gone out yet. But I mean, people are literally like, you have standing water and you're freezing home. Like, people are really in bad shape right now. So go find yourself a Mattress Mac and get over there.
I was thinking about it because I saw the picture of the Mattress Mac gals that were on the lounge chairs somewhere on TV, maybe a couple days ago. And it struck me that they were plus size gals. Oh. And I sort of scanned like the four gals, and there were big drinks of water. And then I started thinking, you know, we always have that thing of like what used to be fat and what is fat and what we used to call fat, and we always talk about Curly from the Three Stooges.
Right.
When you see him now, he looks like a husky guy. No. Does not look like what we would consider a Curly from the Three Stooges was quite a bit smaller than the random sampling of gals who are at Mattress Mac's place. Here's another one. As I thought about it, I was watching Full Metal Jacket with my Private son, Pyle. Private Pyle. When we saw when that movie came out in 1991 or 88 or 87, when that movie came out in 87, it was like, was it Vincent D'Onofrio? Who was that?
Yes, it was. He put on a ton of weight because he played Thor in Adventures in Babysitting the same year.
Oh, he did? He
Dude,
played
that's
Thor.
Vincent D'Onofrio. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know he played Thor.
He put on like 55 pounds. He put on an insane amount of weight.
So when you see that...
You're blowing my mind.
I did not know he played
Thor. Side by side, Chris.
All right. So you see him in that movie, and you like see him with his shirt off and wearing his underwear and his T-shirt and stuff like that. He is not any bigger than any of those gals that were laying on those recliner chairs. He is, in fact, a fair bit smaller.
Yeah. He's overweight. He's soft.
A little
they're
doughy.
Playing to be a fat tub of goo in the movie. He can't stop eating donuts.
He. If you look at a picture
he has
of
a
him,
dad bod.
He's got a dad bod. I mean, I. That's what I look like with my shirt off. Like, that's just dad bod. You know what I mean? And the whole conceit was, you're so fat. You're so fat. You're so fat. That is not fat by today's standards.
Oh, no.
That is not big. And look no further than Mattress Mac, which is we just got four random gals who are all this is a random sampling of folks who just showed up to get out of the weather. And all of them are quite a bit bigger than he was when he put on all the weight to play the fat guy in the movie. And that was really the central theme of the first half of the movie.
Right. Yeah, I can't believe it.
He's carved out of granite in Adventures in Babysitting.
Vincent D'Onofrio was Thor.
Yes, look at that. Undeniable. Look at the face.
Never knew that.
Wow.
Never.
Same year. That's fucking crazy.
Never knew that. But look at him as fat guy in the movies. Like, he's not that fat, but he was fat by 1987 standards.
Right. Well, and you know, like we always talk about, you know, like 80s movies. There's Chunk from Goonies. There's like, what was it, Chubbs or Chubby from Teen Wolf?
Oh yeah, he was fat. But you know, Chunk is a good example.
Yeah,
all right, but
I mean,
show
the Truffle Shuffle. It's like he has a little bit of a belly.
They're big guys, but they don't stick out like sore thumbs these days.
Show Mattress Mac. I don't think any of those people are near the size of the random women who aren't there because they're there at some, you know, boot camp trying to lose weight. This is just randomness. And ostensibly probably what happens to a lot of poor people these days. This is going to be a national emergency one day. Just lots of poor, huge people eating really unhealthy food And
well, exacerbated COVID by God knows how much. Yeah. We'll know someday, but
yeah.
Oh my God, yes. All right, that's my Vincent D'Onofrio, and thanks for the Thor.
That's crazy. And to Brian's point, yeah, there's the crew, and hopefully it's because they have 14 sweatshirts on. But I get your point.
I see some leggings poking through there.
I get it.
All right.
To Brian's point, you know, about COVID, there's like this algorithm like list. You can put in your, you know, your stats essentially and see where you are on the list for a vaccine. And I mean, like, if, Adam, you and I are not getting this vaccine. I've made my peace with that. In
California, I already got mine, bitch.
Son of a bitch.
You mother. You did vaccine tourism.
No.
But
I threw
on the
some
list,
money around. I greased some palms. There's a elderly woman of color who was ahead of me. I just bought her.
Pushed her out of the way.
I gave her a couple of bucks to walk.
Not say anything.
That's the bricks.
Let's go down to the Mattress King. Take a load off, honey. Whitey's got to get vaccinated.
But there are things you have to check off on the list. And if you put little side tip for you, at least from the list I looked at, if you put that you're obese, you move up exponentially in the line.
Well, it ain't. And I don't know where the
because you're more at risk.
I don't know where the BMI index thing is. And I don't know if we've revised it, you know, along with the food pyramid.
Right.
But when you hear about like those numbers, like when you hear about a male who's 5'11", if you're 5'11" and you're an adult male and you're over 177 pounds, you are obese. Like the threshold to get to obese was pretty damn easy. And yeah.
Every linebacker in the NFL is obese.
Every gal at the Mattress King. Like, I mean, it was like you walk, just go through your life and just go walk, you know, go about your day and tell me, go walk into a Target and tell me how many, all right, the average woman is 5'6", 5'5" and a half.
By that.
What do you think? Find the average height of the woman, an average woman in America.
American woman, 5'4".
That's average.
Tiny.
Seems short.
According to the CDC,
yes. 2021.
There's a lot of short people out there.
That's true.
Though.
All right.
Because I'm 5'5".
Well, let's then, that's going to help me. So the average woman.
I don't know the pals shit that high.
The average woman is 5'4".
That's Full Metal Jacket.
Yes, that's good. I love that movie. I watch it again. Arlie Ermey will be missed.
Oscar worthy.
So if the average woman is 5'4" in America, what is the body mass index of a 5'4" woman? When does she cross over into technically obese? And I would bet you it'll be a surprisingly low number. Yeah. And
so 145 maybe.
And then you can check that box, right, Gina?
Yeah. I'm looking for that calculator. But this list, it puts you in line and you see all the people ahead of you. Ahead of us are 98,000 homeless people, 146,000 prisoners, 5.5 million young adults, and then us.
Can you put a cancer victim in?
You that's why I told you. You get to go ahead of us.
Can I say, as long as we're on the topic, Adam, you'll fucking love this. Just the no answers to how to get this vaccine. The Gina sent me a story, broke recently, that people with pre-existing conditions are going to be, you know, that put them at risk of COVID, are going to be eligible in LA County as of March 15th. Mm-hmm. And I called my doctor immediately. I'm like, hey, great news. What do I do? This is, you know, last mm-hmm. week. And he's like, oh, talk to the nurse here. She knows more than I do. And so I did. And basically like, oh yeah, you have to arrange it through your general practitioner, your GP. And I'm like, okay, this is so, I didn't yell at them, but I was like, everyone in my position, whether you have cancer or heart disease or something like that, you're not going to a general practitioner. Your right. doctor is your specialist. Your doctor is your cardiologist. Your mm-hmm. doctor is your oncologist. Like to make the standard, oh, go to the doctor you go to for a checkup. No one who has heart disease or cancer, it goes in for a checkup. You go to see, you know, your cardiologist or something. So to make it that standard is absurd.
I concur, but you know, could we do it any other way? We really have all the homeless and prisoners ahead of us.
Yeah.
Is it really on the list? Homeless and prisoners.
I'll send it to you. This is it's an illustrated chart of people in a line, and it stops at the 48,000 homeless, then prisoners, then young adults, then it's snakes, and then not sick people.
Is it young adults first? Young adults don't seem to be any risk young, for young adults. Is that for going back to school?
Young adults. There's young adults and children. So those teenagers and children.
But why would young adults, if it goes by age?
I was under the impression no one under the age of 16 could get the vaccine.
But even why?
That's what I was told. Yeah.
Why would a 23-year-old get one before a 55-year-old? That doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
But as far as the prisoners and the homeless goes, I've been saying nonstop this sort of notion of declared war on taxpayers. Like, if you pay taxes in this state, you don't count for anything. Mm-hmm. We don't really get any love or any attention. I would say let's let the earners, the people that are paying for the vaccinations, at least in theory, by paying taxes and contributing and not being in the joint or flopping under our overpass, maybe give them a little bang for their buck.
They're heartless.
I don't really care.
I guess there's a silver lining. I don't think a lot of homeless are going to be lining up to get, you know what I mean?
Well, they're probably going to get, converted food trucks like the bookmobile and head out.
They
go
are.
Head out to them.
I can see that.
They are doing that. Those can do 500 vaccines a day, and they are doing that.
It says homeless and prisoners. Like that. You know what it sounds? It honestly, if we were making a movie like Idiocracy, what was that movie? Idiocracy. Sorry, if we're making a movie like Idiocracy, and we're showing some bumbling, state bureau, whatever guys, and Luke Wilson went, "When do I get the vaccine?" He'd go, "Well, let me see. We got homeless people. We got prisoners. We got
the
criminally insane." like it would be a joke. Like, what has the world turned into? What kind of state are you living in? Like, what is this? Like, that would be considered a joke a few years ago.
Yes. And I just clicked on another calculator because there's a lot of these, when am I getting it calculators. On this one, this is from ABC Local. Do you have any of the following medical conditions? And the first medical condition is obesity.
Well, obesity, we found out, is 174 at 5'4". So it's more than I thought. Oh, wow. Overweight is 145. But there's plenty of people walking around in that who would check that box.
Get there if I believed in myself over the weekend.
That's right.
I could do it.
Like Homer Simpson. We got Boz Rutten punching. That's going to make us all feel better.
Doesn't like to hit a nice little uppercut because it's a powerful shot. Hooks, uppercuts, the head moves like a real head. Look, if I give three hooks and an uppercut, it bounces back right away, immediately in the spot that it's supposed to be.
That chick was laying in the fucking wood.
Henry Rollins would be like, "Boss, you got to reel it in a little bit."
You're a little tense.
So I'd love to get your thoughts on this new possible legislation.
So do you have time? Does it give you a window to get your vaccination?
No, can't even make an appointment right now if you're under 65.
And that's just here. My two friends who
are in LA County, of course.
Yeah, my friends who are young, healthy, in their late 30s in Arizona, they already got both their vaccinations.
Yeah.
It's just us.
And what's wrong? And what happened to LA? Like, why do we have to be so bad at so many things?
When you spoke through me last night, this was, as they say, your voice was, it was in me, but not of me, because we were talking about this. I was talking about this with Andy, since LAUSD is trying to figure out, with the little ones, are we doing hybrid? Are you going back? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? And, I'm a little more plugged into this stuff because the news, and Andy was like, are we ready? Is it safe? I don't know. And I said, let me put it to you this way. If LAUSD is considering opening now, we should have been open 6 months ago.
That's a good point.
Yes.
And he immediately got it when I said that.
Yes. if we are, well, I've told you guys the umbrella of safety, be careful. You can hide behind safety, and that's all we're doing. It's like we can open when everyone's vaccinated, whenever it, when we get downgraded or upgraded from yellow to magenta, it'll just keep going. But yes, if LA can do it or is considering it, then
it should have been done.
Right. It's past time. But also, yeah, the whole messaging is like, we're going to have 100, the schools are going to be open in the next 100 days, but that we will count reopening for one day a week. Like, that's the latest. Like, the school, right, they will count a school reopened if your kid, yes, doesn't go there 80% of the time. I don't know if, yes, I would call that a reopening of a school. It was kind of funny when I was watching the town hall with Biden the other day, he gave a funny answer, which may be true, and even the numbers may be true, and the spirit may be true. It's just funny because I realize it's kind of like when I was watching the $6 million man, and like, we need $20 million, or we're going to blow up the whole eastern part of the country, you know, like $20 million. Biden goes, he was talking to Anderson Cooper, and he goes, look, when we got in office, we only had 50 million vaccines. I was like, that isn't enough, but it's funny to go only, yeah, 50 million, right, of whatever it is. So it's a, that's, start.
Right. Well, and speaking of Biden, my answer to that is about the one day a week. Biden wants the win. He said, you know, as God is my witness, and, you know, 100 days, we're getting things back up and running. So you have to fudge that. You have to move the goalpost a little, or he's not, you know, he doesn't get to keep that promise.
Yeah, it's true. But the message, he had a CDC message 2 weeks ago that we talked, right, about, that got walked back. Kamala Harris is getting interviewed. The only thing that's good that has come of any of this is finally the CNN reporters and the MSNBCs and the CBSs, they're starting to get on it a little bit. Like, what do you, give us an answer that's, right, not an answer. Can schools open with, you know, they're saying like, all right, the CDC says teachers don't need to be vaccinated. Will you reopen schools without teachers being vaccinated? And then they go, we believe teachers are very important and an integral part. And then the reporters are starting to wake up a little and go, that's not the question. You, right, got to answer the question. Not really answering, but they are getting kind of the well, the reporters that kind of, they took the last 4 years off because it's like, we're going after Trump. I got to fuck. Trump's dangerous. We got to get rid of him. But they kind of gave, but they're coming. I was thinking about today because I was watching, I think I was watching CNN, and they were getting after Cuomo. They were getting after Cuomo. Yeah. And Cuomo was governor of the year, and now they're kind of getting after him.
Right.
And
has Chris had any thoughts on this?
Chris Cuomo?
I
keep thinking about, they said they're not going to have him report on his brother.
I heard he wasn't allowed to, yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
but what I'm saying is I was thinking about it, again, just everything through the lens of psychology. I was thinking, like, Cuomo hated Trump. Cuomo wanted Trump gone. Cuomo, fine. And Cuomo, because he hated Trump, was the toast of the town. He wasn't the story about the nursing homes and stuff. That stuff's been out there for 9 months. They just gave him a pass. They just gave, look, he hates Trump. We got to get rid of Trump. And look, I agree in the sense that you go, well, if Trump is a dictator and Trump is dangerous and Trump is racist, we're just going to focus on getting rid of Trump. So Cuomo was like, good, get rid of Trump. I'll help you. Now Trump's gone. And now the same group is like, right, circling back and going, Cuomo, we got to keep doing reporting.
We have some questions.
We're not going off the air. Trump's gone, but we're still here. So now we kind of get to you. And now he's, yeah, like, what the fuck is going on? And it's like, well, we're done with Trump.
We're back.
Now we're back.
Do you think there's a bit of an optics thing as it pertains to the CNN reporters of the world who are like, well, you know, we can't appear as though we're going easy on this new regime or whoever, you know, or people now that Trump is no longer in our lives? Like, do you think there's an optics thing where maybe they have to turn up the heat a tiny bit to maintain appearances?
I think the phenomenon is they have probably had an ass full over the last 4 years of all you're doing is going after Trump. How come you're not going? Why no tough questions for Biden? You know, only tough questions for Trump. Where's the tough question for Biden? So they probably had an ass full of that. And Trump, I was also thinking, him being deplatformed from Twitter and all the social media, there's no scraps for them to go after, because they would look. Trump's easy money for them. He's low hanging fruit. He'd be out of office, but he'd still be sending tweets out. Yes. You know, this insurrection. This story. Is not a whatever.
Yeah.
And the top story would be Trump sent another tweet from Marilyn Ayers when he said, "Oh, it's so offensive," and blah blah blah. So in a weird way. And this is basically what I'm saying. So, yes, I think it's a combination of two things. They probably heard enough. You guys are so tearing Trump a new asshole, and you gave Biden a free pass and Cuomo free pass. You gave people on the left a free pass. Also, the election's over, so it's kind of mission accomplished. They don't really have to do it. They've done their job. Trump is gone. Then they deplatform Trump, so we don't hear from him anymore. And now it's kind of like, well, all we got is Biden and Cuomo, and I guess we're going to have to start asking questions, mixed with something like a subject of reopening schools. It has been such a clusterfuck of a bubblegum, oatmeal mouth. Here's what Fauci says. Here's what the CDC says. Here's what Kamala Harris says. Here's what Biden says. It's been a mixed message of moving the goalposts and all that kind of stuff. That, yeah, I think in a weird way, I feel like a lot of these reporters are going, oh, yeah, we're reporters. Like, we got to get back up.
They are the fourth estate.
Yeah.
Right. Like, they're supposed to hold, you know, truth to power. That's the idea. And it's nice to see them doing it for everyone.
Yeah. They're waking up. But I got to tell you, it's so confusing. It feels confusing when, like, Kamala Harris is giving an interview to the lady on CNN, and the CNN lady's like asking follow up questions and not just like talking about her tennis shoes and all right. that kind of shit. Like, they're getting into it a little bit. So it's kind of nice. It's a nightmare for Cuomo because he went from it's really weird because he went from belle of the ball, but it was really just belle of the ball because he was so vocally against Trump, and it was New York, and Trump's from New York, and he was talking about, you know, I don't know, not letting him back in New York and all that kind of shit. So he went from belle of the ball to goat, and now they're going after him. And I think there's some meat on that bone because he's got guys in his cabinet like coming out saying he was threatened and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some stuff with Cuomo. And I don't know what Chris is going to do. Just not bring it up? I mean, it's weird to not bring it up.
Awkward.
But Andrew used to come on and they would just banter and like be brothers. And isn't this great? So I'm sure those days are over at least.
Well, it's also funny, too, because Chris is banned from CNN coverage on. But this is... This is the problem. There's that great picture of him holding the giant nasal swab. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
From back in the day. So Chris had a big joke, like novelty. This is for your big nose, brother. Swab it out. And then, of course, everyone on the right just shows that picture and going, hard-hitting interviews. Yeah.
Right. Prop comic. Right. Chris Cuomo.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, Jay Moore's going to be at the Palm Beach Improv. I hope he's not driving there.
He's going to be on the side of the highway.
He's not. He'll never make it through Texas. March 4th through the 7th. And, Oklahoma City will come on out and see us. And Los Angeles, Jam in the Van, Speakeasy, March 25th. Two shows, stand-up, free mangria, and cannabis with every purchase of a ticket. So if I ain't funny after that, that's on you. That's on you, man. All right, go to amcrowell.com for all the live shows, and you can check out the YouTube page and see the stand-up there. Until next time, I'm Crowell with Jay Moore, Gina Grad, and Bob Bryant saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Instagram, Adam Carolla. Facebook, Adam Carolla. phone number if you'd like to leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you. 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere and online at adamcarolla.com.